AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to The Press. It is the Tuesday show for the Players Championship Week. I'm Ryan Ballingy. It's good to have you here with us. We're going to go over the results of the top 10 or so of our model for the Players Championship. We'll talk about current form plays. We'll talk about course fits. Although, as we alluded to during yesterday's show, there isn't a whole lot of course fit this week, I feel. And even though we go through that calculation and we look at how the top 25 of finishers fare strokes gained ratio-wise compared to other PGA Tour events, there really doesn't seem to be a whole lot of rhyme or reason to this golf course in terms of common outcomes, how it works every year. And then, of course, we have to factor in the change of the event from May to March, which made this course play different in a variety of ways, starting with overseeded grass, wind, temperature. I mean, lots of things are different. So kind of keeping that in mind, we'll take that with a little bit of a grain of salt. But the modeling does matter, does work out well. Last week, we had Kurt Kitayama at 17th in the model, and he wound up winning the golf tournament for the biggest win of his career, which, hey, kudos to him for doing so. We saw in the model last week and in prior weeks the developing reality that Kurt Kitayama plays tough tournaments well and had been doing so for quite some time, really. But I think people started to notice that more thanks to the CJ Cup in the fall. And they said, well, you know, he gave Rory McIlroy a run for his money. Rory got to number one in the world again at that point. You go, okay, well, maybe there's something there. Or is this a one-off? Turned out to not be a one-off. So we're trying to identify players who aren't one-offs before we all realize they aren't anyone. You know, they aren't one-offs anymore. So kudos to him for winning the tournament. And we have a couple of surprises, actually, in this model this week. I have to admit, now, some of it is influenced by the fact that the quality strokes gained calculation for this week is huge. It's a big deal because your performance in the best events factors large into this model. And so if you're looking at players who did well in majors last year, Cameron Young's one of them. He's going to do well in this model. There you go. And that's why he comes out very highly in this model, even though I don't think he's a particularly good fit for this golf course and doesn't have a ton of experience to necessarily weigh him down either in the model as it relates to prior finishes at TPC Sawgrass. So let's go over the top 10 of the model. We'll go 13 deep just for the surprise. I mean, whatever. Rory McIlroy is number one. That's going to be no shocker to anybody. Scottie Scheffler is number two. Then Will Zalatoris comes in at number three. Now, it's going to surprise the people naturally, but Will Zalatoris almost won two majors last year. And so, of course, his ranking goes up relative to the field this week because we captured all the majors and any event where there was at least 80 points to the winner of that event under the old official World Golf Ranking system. This week, there will be 80 to the winner because that's the way they've done it with the players. They've made it that kind of standard, even though they made the changes to the system. Otherwise, the majors are 100 each. The players is 80. Then Matt Fitzpatrick, who won the U.S. Open, is fourth. He played great majors. That makes sense. John Rahm is fifth. He didn't play as well in the majors, so he gets knocked down a little bit, even though he is clearly one of the two or three best players in the world, depending on how you feel about your measurement cycle. Xander Schauffele is sixth in that model this week. Justin Thomas is seventh. He won a major last year. Makes sense. Cameron Young, eighth. He played very well in the majors last year. Patrick Cantlay, 9th. Colin Morikawa, 10th. Shane Lowry, 11th. Then we get to some surprises. Keegan Bradley is 12th in this model. And I've talked about him yesterday. I think he is a very good play here. Aaron Wise is 13th. That one shocked me. I was very surprised about that when I tallied all this together and ordered it. You go, wait, what? Why is that guy there? But then you might have thought that last week with Kurt Kitayama at 17th. Aaron Wise is 150 to 1 to win this week. And I can't tell you that my model works and then not listen to it, particularly in strong field events. I know he hasn't played very well in the last four times out. Too good, too bad. But, man, it's kind of hard not to think, okay, well, maybe there's something here. Chris Kirk is 14th, and Tommy Fleetwood is 15th, and that rounds out. Jordan Spieth, by the way, is 16th. And we're starting to see that turnaround for Jordan Spieth in the model. Whereas last year, he was consistently in the 30s. And that's because he had racked up so much bad strokes gained information and data that it was hard for him to kind of claw out of that. Well, now he is back to probably where he belongs, I'll say, in that solidly in the 15 to 20 range where we are right now. So that's the top 15 on the list. And some names you might be surprised that are not as high up on the list. I think you'd start with Victor Hovland. He's 18th. Tony Finau's 20th. Bad record in this tournament. Sungjae Im's 25th. That's kind of surprising to me. Tyrrell Hatton, who a lot of people, including myself, like this week, 28th. Jason Day is 32nd. Max Homa is 33rd. And the reason Max Homa is 33rd is because he doesn't play well in the majors, or at least has not yet. And that's why he's not 7th or 4th or 12th in the model. That's the big one where you're like, where's that guy? Well, he hasn't demonstrated yet that he can play against major championship courses and major championship fields at the same time. He can do major championship fields for sure. Can he do it on a major championship style course? Not saying this is a major, but major championship style course. We have yet to see that from Max Homa, which is why he's down here at this point in the model. So keep all that in mind when you're thinking about what this model might mean for you and any handicapping you could be doing. Just a heads up, we did increase the price to become a GNM member. It is now $99 a year. Hopefully you got in on the membership situation there when it was $50 leading into March. But we'll be $99 a year moving forward. Continue to add tools, more player profiles. There's plenty of free stuff out there. The player profiles are free. The year-by-year and tournament-by-tournament search is available for free. So if you just want to look at year-by-year leaderboards of each tournament, you can do so. Makes a little bit more of a manual process, but hey, I wanted to put something out there that everyone could access in regards to that. And then we do our quality strokes gained stuff. We do the cheat sheet, which a lot of people love. It's very, very helpful and really kind of helps show you what's going on with the landscape of recent form and course fit, course history very, very well. And then shows our modeling. So you kind of get it all in one place. It was basically this show with all 144 players for this week covered. Now, want to transition over then to the horse for course and current form piece of this, because the model looks at a 1 and 2 year window for the most part and does look at the last five events a little bit, does look at course history a little bit, but not quite to the same extent as the 1 and 2 year windows. So if we look at current form, which my definition of current form is multiple top 15 finishes in the last five individual PGA Tour events. This time it's going to be six, but really nobody who played the Puerto Rico Open matters to this process. So technically it's six, but really it's five. And there are a whole ton of players coming into this tournament that are playing well. I want to highlight some of them here. Many of them are obvious. Some of them are actually not. Patrick Cantlay is a guy I think we talked about yesterday as this would be a very Patrick Cantlay win if he were to take this tournament. He's been in the top four in the last two designated tournaments. He's playing well. He doesn't even play API and plays well. I think that tells you something. Jason Day has done well. He has finished in the top 10 in all three designated full field events. All of them. That's a pretty sizable thing. Harris English has also been inside the top 12 in the last two designated events. Starting to get on that right path of things again. Tyrrell Hatton, T6, T4 in two of the last three designated events. Max Homa, you know his record. Bo Hostler has been in the top 14 in three of the last five PGA Tour events he's played. That's a nice trend forward for a guy who has really struggled at this level. Victor Hovland's played well at Pebble, played well here. Again, I think this golf course can suit him because if you look at if you attempt to try to course fit this place, there's not a lot of value in the short game. It's like 12 to 13% compared to other courses that might be in the 15 to 17% range. And I firmly believe this golf course does not really reward short game because of the difficulties of chipping from the low-lying areas that are closely mown. It's almost as tough as rough, to be truthful. And at that point, it negates the skill, which benefits Hovland, at least conceptually, until he leaves two in the bunker inexplicably like he did at API last week. Shane Lowry, a couple good finishes in a row, seems to be on the right trend after changing caddies. Ben Martin has been playing well. He is in the field this week, I believe $6,400 on DK. T13 Pebble, T5 Honda. Yes, those are weak events. Don't get me wrong. But those are also tough golf courses. And Pebble was played difficult conditions. Honda is always tricky. Someone to consider. Denny McCarthy has played well the West Coast, lives down in the Jupiter area. I think that he can do really well on this golf course, but he has to drive the ball well. He has to drive it better in terms of gaining strokes. If he doesn't do that, then it could be an easy MC this week. But Keith Mitchell, Taylor Moore, a couple of guys with great recent track records. Taylor Moore and Seamus Power have more consistent track record to each other. T15 in Pebble, T14 somewhere else. Phoenix for one, Genesis for the other. John Rahm's playing great, you know that. Xander Schauffele is playing great, but not as great as Scottie Scheffler, who's obviously done very well recently. One Phoenix, T12 at the Genesis, T4 at the API. Jordan Spieth is coming around. T6 at Phoenix, T4 at the API. Yes, he does have kind of wild swings of being good and bad. I mean, he did it within one round on Sunday where he couldn't miss a putt and then he couldn't make a putt. That makes him very hard to trust, but he is playing well. And if you look at the event history here, finish history for the players, you're hard-pressed to find anyone who's finished multiple times in the top 15 here in the last 5 years. In the last five playings, I should say. Not even the last 5 years. Last five playings of this event, because 2020 they never finished. And if you look at that, there's only eight guys in this field who have finished in the top 15 multiple times in the last 5 years. And all of them have only done it twice. No one's done it more than twice. There's no true horse for course here. You're kind of grasping at straws, in my opinion, if you're going to try to make a correlation here. But you're also going to see a correlation between someone a lot of people like because of their current form. So you're going to take this information and go, oh, I really like that guy already. I'm going to like him even more now. Please don't do that. Please fight that temptation, because I'm fighting it myself. Keegan Bradley, Jason Day, Tommy Fleetwood, Brian Harman, Shane Lowry, John Rahm, Adam Scott, Justin Thomas. Five of those guys you would consider betting anyway. Bradley, Day, Harman, maybe Fleetwood, certainly Lowry, Rahm for sure, Justin Thomas. Take your pick. Some people might even consider Adam Scott. I'm not. I just don't remember the last time he's been that substantial to a tournament. And so I'm just going to kind of leave well enough alone there. Then on the course breakout, are you a course fit for this week? If you look at the breakout, again, over the last five, maybe the history of this event, but really the last 5 years. So you have a couple of Mays. You have a couple of Marches. More March now than May. But if you look at the breakout, it's a 27% putting ratio to 73% tee to green, 12% around the green, which is extraordinarily low. But with the thing I want to point out about the breakout here is that the approach matters probably more than any other course on the PGA Tour. 41% is the approach ratio, 41%, which means you better be a good ball striker to win here. You don't have to be a good putter, and you frankly don't have to be a good chipper, but you do have to be a good to great approach player to win here. So if you look at that list of potential fits, Xander Schauffele, John Rahm, Emiliano Grillo, Adam Scott, Francesco Molinari, and Tommy Fleetwood are some fits that fit that ratio of gaining strokes in their top 25 finishes relative to the top 25 finishes of this tournament in recent memory. So all of that together, I think you have some pretty clear plays. So let's look at where the market has moved in the last, 12, 18 hours since we did this show. I think probably closer to 24 now. But anyhow, if you look at what's going on, there has been some change. Earlier in the week, you had Rahm and McIlroy at like that 8.5-1 position at DraftKings. And I've kind of started to notice this, and I don't know if everyone's noticed this, so I'm sorry for being potentially obvious here, but if you look at the early week odds for DK recently, they're bad. Like, if you're the first click guy at the top of the board and you want to take the favorite, the odds stink and they get worse by like, I'll say plus 100 to plus 150 by the time you get to Tuesday morning, because they realize no one's taking that action, or the people who took that action and were foolish enough to take it have taken it. And then they push it back. So now McIlroy's 9-1. Scheffler and Rahm are 10-1. Patrick Cantlay is 16-1. He's come down a little bit. I'd liked him better at 18. Justin Thomas is 20-1. Homa and Morikawa are 22. Schauffele 25. Hovland 28. Finau and Day at 30. I'm going to leave Finau alone. Just has not figured out this golf course yet. Zalatoris and Hatton and Im and Fitzpatrick. Spieth, Tom Kim are all 35-1. Hatton's a little bit shorter, so hopefully you got that already. Jason Day, I feel like, is a little bit shorter from yesterday. I don't remember that for sure. I'm going to leave Fitzpatrick out of it. I'm going to leave Spieth out of it, I think. I love Tom Kim, but I think I'm going to leave him out of it as well. Keegan Bradley, 45-1, intrigues me for sure. I'm going to fire on it. Siwoo Kim at 55-1 intrigues me as much as Shane Lowry at 55-1, too. I think Shane Lowry might be able to win this golf tournament this week. Corey Connors, Ricky Fowler, 60-1. Keith Mitchell, 55. Then you start getting a little bit deeper. Chris Kirk at 80 is interesting. Harris English at 90 is really interesting to me because he's playing hot and he's a good approach player. I could be convinced to take some action on him. I will leave Kurt Kitayama alone. I know we just talked about how well he plays tough courses and tough fields, but he has to be absolutely gassed after winning on Sunday. I just don't imagine a scenario where he bounces back and does anything really particularly well this week. Molinari interests me at 150, but Aaron Wise really interests me at 180. I just have to follow what the model says. I don't care how wrong it's going to wind up being. I have to follow. We got to fire out on that one. And then you start to get pretty deep pretty fast, and I'm going to just stop at that point. Tom Dietrich at 250-1 kind of intrigues me. That's a super, super long number on a guy who's playing better than that. I think I have to, almost out of respect for myself, have to put $10 on that and see what happens. Ben on, same thing, 300-1. I know he's not playing great world-class golf, but if you understand the way that he is done well over the course of the years in really particularly difficult tournaments, you know, and against good fields, think about what he's done winning the BMW PGA. It kind of makes sense to just a few dollars, not a lot of dollars, just a few dollars on him in the event that something crazy happens here, because you have to acknowledge that's absolutely possible in this golf course. Strange things have happened in this tournament in the past, and they might again someday. So keep that in mind here. Now, I wanted to look at some top 40 plays here because you're going to see a lot of minus numbers at the top of the board. Of course, we have a tool for this we invented to look at for our membership. You can look at players in the last 50 PGA Tour events, what percentage of the time they finish inside the top 40, 20, top 10, and you get a better idea of the kind of players you're looking at and why you should or shouldn't like them this week. If you look at the top 40 percentage among players in the field, it's ridiculous. Thomas Dietrich has been in the top 40 92% of the time in the 13 starts he has made since gaining PGA Tour status. If you look at him this week, he is plus 225 to finish in the top 40. I know this is a different caliber of field. I acknowledge that. But if he's going to finish in the top 40, and he hasn't missed a cut, by the way, if you finish in the top 40 92% of the time out of 13 starts, I'm going to believe you. That number doesn't match up to the market. Now, either they think he's got no shot to make the cut on this particular golf course, or there's something off. I'm going to take that one, because he is the highest top 40 percentage player in the field if you look at the last 50 events. He has not played as many as the others. Not nearly as many, but come on, man. That's good. Then you start to get into the kind of the guys who have been historically very good in this tournament and historically very good on the PGA Tour. Rory McIlroy, Xander Schauffele, John Rahm, Justin Thomas, Patrick Cantlay, Scottie Scheffler. I mean, all those guys are Max Homa. They're all in the 80s. Tyrrell Hatton, 78% of the time, finishing in the top 40. So if you want to make your next move, you're trying to find some value here. Maybe you start to get some plus. Where do you start to get plus money? You start to get it at Tommy Fleetwood, Sam Burns, Harris English to a degree. So let's say we look at Fleetwood. Well, he's been in the top 40 61% of the time in 18 starts. He has 3 missed cuts, but seems to be on an uptrend here. I'd be willing to take him in the plus 110 money. If you want to look at a guy like Chris Kirk, who I also am very interested in, not as good though, because he's played a lot and he's only been in there 46% of the time. So relatively higher starts, about the same clip of top 40 number-wise, but not good enough to bet, in my opinion. So I think that would be one to kind of shy away from. But I really love that Dietrich bet. That just screams out to me as one you should make in the top 40 markets. If you like top 20 markets, which, hey, everyone's got their different thing that they're most interested in. Oh, by the way, DK has added a promotion now that's add plus 250 onto any golfer to win this week. So all the odds we're talking about, at least at DK, you're adding 250 too. So if you want to get McIlroy at 11.5 to 1, I'm pretty cool with that, actually. I think that's a reasonable wager to make. Something to go after this week. That's just me, but round finishing position, by the way, first round leader wagers. I don't like this market at all this week, and I've kind of stayed away from first round leader bets the last few weeks. I don't like this market whatsoever, and the reason I don't like it is because this golf course is really hard to predict and understand, and that's why the first round leader bet is 22 to 1. You don't have like the, oh, this guy should crush the field type thing. It's just really, really hard, but I feel like I kind of like Keegan Bradley at 55. I like Shane Lowry at 55. I like Siwoo at 65. I could even get behind Corey Connors at 65. Even Harris English at 75. But I have not run that model yet. I'm still kind of tweaking it. We get close some weeks and other weeks. Maybe it's just, again, I went into the concept of this. Maybe it's just too variable. Maybe it's just too difficult to predict with any kind of consistency. But I think I want to look for some deeper shots here. Any interesting make-miss cuts to miss the cut? To miss the cut this week, I think you have to at least consider Tony Finau at plus 250 because he's missed 4 of 6. I think you almost have to do it. I think you've got to consider that. Tom Kim plus 200 is intriguing to me because he doesn't have much experience on this golf course, and experience matters at this golf course. I could also see it for Jordan Spieth. I could see it. Spieth is at plus 160, so that they know his record here isn't the best. I could see it for Xander Schauffele. Sometimes kind of punts a little bit in some of these tournaments. So I would look at those as well. And then we talked about this earlier. Tournament props, the winning margin, 225, 300. I would leave 300 out of it. I would either go one stroke exactly only at plus 225 or two strokes exactly and one stroke plus 225 or plus 340 and just leave well enough alone. Tournaments have been close since it's been going back to March. So let's stick with that theme and continue to hammer that. And that's been a very profitable wager for us on this show. All right, that's going to do it for us today on The Press. Thank you so much for listening. If you have any questions, email me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. I'm on Twitter at Ryan Ballingy. You can join Golf News Net. As I mentioned, $99 a year. Still a tremendous value for what we provide every single week. And hopefully you'll be with us tomorrow as we go through the final card for this week's tournament. The Players, so excited for it. One of my favorite weeks of the year, and hopefully you are just as jacked up about it as I am. Until tomorrow, I'm Ryan Ballingy. Thank you for listening. We'll catch you next time on The Press.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.